Nothing really comes naturally to me, frankly, except hard work. That's the one thing that I've got, a lot of persistence, and I'll stick with it, which is really the key to my success. I knew that if I put my customers first, that it was gonna work out. So I fumbled along, tried to figure out exactly what it was that was gonna set us apart, and it took me years to really, to really figure that out.
But is there anything that comes to mind for you that's like, super passionate about this, or I'm very, you know, this is kind of my final message of what I'd want to leave with the listener of somebody that has a relatable business and is trying to figure out those types of things along the way?
Yeah, we haven't really touched on it, but just do the right thing.
Welcome to this week's episode of No Suits Allowed. I have a special guest, Jack Cottrell, sitting next to me here. Jack the Roofer, the guy that's, it's on his shirt, he is the brand. No, I'm kidding. But we've talked, actually leading up to this point, talked a lot about his business off the camera before we sat here and sat down to share his story about the guy that has his name in the brand and how he's, you know, his business is growing and evolutionizing through that process. And so I'm excited to get into his conversation today. And if you haven't already, make sure you like and subscribe. And would love to be able to get feedback from you and see what your thoughts are on this particular episode. And I'm really excited to be able to share that. And so without further ado, I'm gonna let Jack share a little about his story, and then we're gonna get into that. So I'll let Jack share a little about himself and kick the show off, and then we'll get back into some back and forth here. But yeah, so from where you're from, the family, whatever else you wanna share about you. And kind of the, I guess, how long you've been being an entrepreneur and what's that story up to this point?
Yeah, you bet. I don't really need to bore you with all the details of all the small stuff, but I'll riff off of what you said originally, is that it's been deliberate and not flashy. That's not my personality. That's not really who I am. But I did start in roofing in 1996. I worked for a guy in Oregon and learned how to install. And
there's zero way that you are that old, bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And I've got five kids. I was gonna save that for later, but yeah, got a lot of mouths to feed.
Okay, that's days, something so. I didn't even know. I knew you were in it for a while, but 96?
Yeah.
Brother, there is no way.
Yeah,
you don't
for
look
sure.
a day over 40.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I know, but you don't.
I got a birthday coming up.
Well, there's no way. There's no way. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Anyway, so been in the game for a long time, but I started out as an installer. I really intended that to be a way to pay the bills to get myself through college. So fast forward, I didn't graduate college. I had to make a decision whether I was going to do college or I was going to continue working in sales. Because after I got done with my gig in Oregon, I moved to Colorado and started working as a salesperson.
Yeah.
Right. Because I knew that my body wasn't going to keep up, and
yep.
it's not what I really wanted to do anyway.
Yep.
Obviously, nobody starts out their life wanting to be a roofer. So I did
you're
sales.
You're like a professional athlete at that point. You only got a certain amount of years.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. Yeah. But that's all I really had. I didn't have any professional sales training. I didn't have any corporate job. I didn't go to business school. I didn't have anything. I literally just was a roofer. And then I learned how to sell, but I really just progressed with that just on my own merit, my own, you know, I didn't have any learning, any education about that. So floundered around with that. Nothing really comes naturally to me, frankly, except hard work. That's the one thing that I've got, a lot of persistence, and I'll stick with it, which is really the key to
the
my
key.
Success.
What's
right?
the key to success, I think, in general?
Right.
Stay at it.
You yep. know? You have to. So, that's kind of the gig. I did sales for a long time until I started. And I worked for various other companies in Denver, realized how crummy the business is and how it attracts a lot of unscrupulous people, greedy
yeah.
people, right?
Yeah, sure.
The whole focus is money, that kind of thing. So I tried multiple times to get out. In the end, I had done every job from quality control, you know, production department, production manager, all the things. And then at some point it was like, I'm not getting the opportunities I was supposed to get.
Sure.
So that I was promised,
yeah.
really. So
happens all the time.
That's right. every company that I left owed me money, right? Everybody has that story.
Yeah.
So I ended up going out on my own. But the reason why I thought I could do it better was just because I knew that if I put my customers first, that it was gonna work out. So I fumbled along, tried to figure out exactly what it was that was gonna set us apart. And it took me years to really, to really figure that out.
Yeah.
So that's the humble beginnings. I've never been flashy. I've never been good at social media. I've never been the big marketer, right? But I knew that if I was persistent and steady, that we would get there. And doing, you know, the conferences like we're at today, yeah. it's always another arrow in your quiver, right?
That's good. Yeah, and that's why I brought you on today, is someone that, like, again, I knew a little bit about your business, obviously, mm-hmm. working with you and in the capacities that we did, but I don't know a lot, and other than kind of the high notes, which is like slow and steady, yep. continuing on the path. So now you're in the position you are today, and let's just even say, like, okay, you know, obviously the market conditions and things that are kind of out of your control, that's been a huge presence in this market in Denver, right?
For sure.
What have you done other than just being financially smart, which I assume it's because you're, you know, fiscally conservative and you're, you know, like, hey, I'm always going to make sure that there's
100%.
Something there, right? But has there been anything for you that you've really paid a lot of attention towards as the market has changed and you're trying to adapt to that? Like, is there anything that you would say that you've really done well in that process to make yourself weather the storm of a lot of other companies going out of business or other things, especially at your size? Because you're not, you know, you guys haven't been doing tens of millions of dollars
right.
or producing millions and millions of dollars in profits. It's like, it's just a consistent, steady business. Is there
right.
anything you kind of been, it's been kind of the superpower, I guess?
Yeah, it's been perspective, always from the customer perspective. So I run through this exercise all the time with my people. It's like, let's talk about the customer experience. Where is it right now? Let's run through it. Like, you, even starting before they call the office, like, what do they experience out in the field?
Yep.
Do they see our trucks? Do they see our branding? Do they see our social media? Do they see our ads? Like, what do they see? Do they see us, you know, how many times, whatever? And what's their impression of who we are? So that's first. And then what happens when they call? Like, who do they talk to? What's the experience that they have? And then you follow that progression all the way along. And then we've always been able to adapt and grow and take that input without a big ego, knowing that, hey, we don't do everything perfect. We don't even do everything well. But if my customer has a complaint, I need to take that seriously, because that, to me, can either be a one-off. Half the time it's a one-off, half the time it's a systemic problem. We don't communicate this piece of information to the customer at the right time or in the right way. So it's always about adapting
and fine tuning that.
That's right.
Being your focus. That's mm-hmm. good. That's good. I like that. Obviously, you know, and that's what this show is really about. Is it's more to talk about, like, the raw, unfiltered, low light, you know, rather than a highlight.
Sure.
I don't know if that's really the right word to say, low light. Yeah. But like the things that, you know, people don't want to talk about. Is there anything that you feel like has been like a huge learning experience for you through your growth journey, through the things that you're doing, even today? And I know even as recent as this year, we go once again without like a big storm happening,
right.
things happening. Yeah, is there anything that comes to mind for you?
Sure, I can tell you all the ways we're not good, like the things that we don't do well. One of those things is hiring. We don't do hiring very well. So when we made a push, to your point, that, you know, we're trying to grow, so
yeah.
have a consistent growth pattern, despite hailstorms and big influxes of revenue.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to have that steady growth. So this year we experienced our biggest hiring process. So we went into it like with a plan, and we fell flat on our face, right? We didn't, we had plans to go at a much bigger scale and do things in a way that we thought going in was going to be like a really good process. We listened to other people, we advised with other people, and then we created a method, and it just didn't produce.
Play out.
Yeah. So what we are going to do though is take that learning experience and then change it, and mm-hmm. even from our timing to you know, the way that we do interviews, the onboarding process, the training process, all of that is being changed.
Yep.
Right. We thought we had it nailed
sure.
the first time around. You know.
Sure.
Stupid us, but we are adapting.
Not stupid, but yeah, you feel that way.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, you do.
Like, it's all set up the right way. It's going to work
that's
out.
That's right.
This
yeah, you have a plan. You're like all excited about it. I'm gonna implement this plan.
Yeah,
it's sure. going to go work well, and then things don't go well.
Expect the unexpected.
Right. So
expect it not to happen.
Yep,
all that. All the exact way. Yeah. Go
so
ahead.
I mean, yeah, that type of mentality, it permeates our company. Right.
Sure.
I am very, very aware of my flaws as a person, as an owner. As somebody that, you know, I've never run a big company before, so I know where we're not good, and
that's okay. I think like the main thing I was getting at there is not to like, you know, you know, make your, I mean, you have a great company, dude. It's not like it's something that like you're, oh, and you know, we struggle this, like, obviously yeah. Those are good things to be aware of. I think for me, it's more of just like, is there anything particularly, and I even have asked that before to other folks that have been on the show. It's like, you know, is there like really anything that's, that stands out to you as like, maybe even just one thing you're like, man, we really messed up in this situation and cost us a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of energy, a lot of this. Like, have you had one of those moments in your company that you're like, I made a big, maybe like, obviously I know you just mentioned, you know, you scaled up, you make these adjustments, you do these things. And if that, I know you've always kind of been more of that, like, hey, let's just grow it slow and steady. Let's just,
that's right.
But like, is there anything for you that sticks out over the course of however many years that you've been, you know, running your company and have been doing it on the way of your own path that you're like, man, I just really wish I would have, like, knowing what I know now, I wish I would have done that differently or something.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'll go back to the hiring thing. We hired a homeless lady. Didn't know she was homeless. And she moved in.
I'm sorry to laugh, bro. So your only reason I'm laughing, I've hired, I'm not gonna get into all my stories.
You've got stories.
No,
right?
Dude, I have stories of, like literally the person living out of their car or, I've had ones that are like, they literally just recently got booked. Like I look them up on the system, right? For background checks or something that. And like, she just got like put charges on for like petty larceny or like she robbed a gas station or something. And then you hire them and then like, you don't even know that stuff's going on until you're like, oh my gosh, that happened like last week. And they like come in for an interview and they're like, act like they got it all together.
Exactly.
It's
So
anyway, I just laughed because that's happened to me.
Right. It resonates, right? Yeah. I hired this lady. She was homeless. She literally moved into my warehouse and.
So then that happened. So yeah.
Happened. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Literally. So she came in and then I was, I had an employee that was getting stuff from the warehouse.
She's a squatter, dog.
She was a total squatter. Had dryer lines, whatever. She had her underwear. I'm not kidding you. She washed her clothes, her underwear, in the sink, in the drinking fountain, and then hung it up. And we're talking about 2 hours after she started, 3 hours after she started. It was nuts. So we recognized it as a red flag. We need to do this differently. We need to do this better. Going back to the real original reason why that happened was because I was impatient. And I don't want to say desperate. We weren't really desperate, but impatient for sure.
Yeah.
So we wanted this position filled. We, you know, she interviewed fine. I mean, she wasn't
a dirty
mess.
I'm sure she wasn't. But yeah, but she probably did not give off indication like, oh, this gal's definitely homeless.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, or whatever. Yeah. Which I've been in that position. Yeah. I've also been in a position of people that are like strung out and serious drugs and you're like they're somehow holding it together.
Right.
And then like had to go get their fix afterwards or something. So crazy stuff.
Yeah.
That's wild, man. What a story.
I mean,
hanging underwear in your warehouse.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
She got evicted that night.
So when you, I can't imagine. Whenever you talk about that though, I mean, obviously the people piece is your next step is, is like, you know, and I know you just mentioned that right before we got on here, like, just catching up.
Yeah.
You know, you're like really trying to make it a point where it isn't like Jack the Roofer is the name. It's been my brand. It's been like, I'm the guy. I'm going to do everything I can to make that customer experience the best way. And now it's like, all right, I have to empower people to be able to do this if I'm going to be able to sustain it, I assume, or things like that, right?
Yeah, so, we're strong at the systems and processes piece. My philosophy starting was like, I know what I do well, and that's I can do the sales. I can be customer facing. I can close the deals. I know that I can generate the revenue that way. But I know that what I'm not good at, what I don't like doing is like production, for instance. So I know that when I was working in production, because there was nobody else, I had to create systems and processes that really worked well. So I did that for a long period of time and ironed out everything and then created the SOPs, made it very digestible for somebody to, as we onboard, because I knew I wanted to offload that as quickly as possible. So every job that needed to be done, I was just consistently moving on to the next thing. We do marketing, create a system process and move that off of my plate because I didn't want to do it. I held on to sales as long as I possibly could until it was the natural process for me to, now I need to replicate myself out in the field.
Yeah.
And that is always really, really hard. People are always the hardest part. And so I have to give them the best ability or best possibility of succeeding. And so that's going to be the Jack the Roofer way, right? So I have to then figure out how to replicate myself with systems and processes and training, and follow-up and motivation and inspiration and incentive and all of the things that I need to get a good salesperson.
Yeah.
And I need to bundle that in my process and then implement it.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're working on now. So it doesn't have to be Jack on every job, every estimate, every roof, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because I think it's important to say, like, this is definitely more sophisticated than a guy that's like a chuck in the truck or whatever. But you have been such a focal point of your, at least, when we were working at the sales side of things or whatever, sounds like those things aren't, you know, haven't changed much over the years, but like now it's really becoming a focus. So is there anything for you that you're like, this is the, do you think it's just getting better at hiring for you? Or do you think it's a matter of making, I guess, more of a priority or focus? Or like, is there anything particularly that has you like, this is becoming a struggle because of this for that sales component of your business? Do you feel like, I'm saying, to scale it, I'm saying, like to get people involved with that side of your business?
So right.
Is there one particular thing or is it just many different things?
Probably a bunch of different things. But the way that I look at that and want to answer that question is that we focused really heavily on a reputation at the beginning. But it was really easy when we had a reputation and every review that we had said, well, Jack came out and did this,
100%.
Right? And then they would come and see me and like have reassurance that, hey, the owner's here.
Yeah.
So it was an easier sell at that point. So we had built a reputation that way. Well, that's no longer the case.
Yeah.
You know, you're hired the company and my sales rep is going to be the one coming out, not me anymore. So we have to now expand that vision of the company is the company that does these things, that has these values, that has this vision, that is able to deliver this customer experience. It's not just about Jack anymore.
Yeah. Is there any specific way you're carrying that forward that's unique to you? Or do you feel like as far as like the vision and the expectation and the standard that you're setting? Or is it, I mean, obviously everybody talks about core values, everybody talks about like repeatable processes, but is it anything that's, you know, as we kind of wind down on some of this conversation here, is it something that you're like, you know, yeah, man, this particular standard, this particular way, this, like, is there something that sticks out to you when you're like, this is the priority to me or the way that I'm going about casting that vision in this time?
I don't think that there's any one particular value or vision. I think, you know, that really stands out that says we're going to hang our shingle on this thing.
Yeah.
It's all of it. But what we don't do well right now is being able to express that. So we're right now in the midst of changing our sales presentation so that that becomes a core part of the presentation. So if you didn't know, Mr. Homeowner, right, this is what we believe.
Yeah.
And this is how we want to treat you. And this is what we expect, you know, out of the project from start
to
finish. So that our salespeople will then be able to, with passion and belief, be able to express that so that the customer is able to say, like, you know what, I believe you and I trust you. And for all of these reasons, I'm going to choose you to do it.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of being able to get your salespeople to do that part. Is what we're really trying to
That's great.
Fix.
That's great. Yeah, I love it. Well, I've enjoyed the conversation. I know it's been a little shorter. We've been on time crunch here. But I mean, as far as, just like your story, I think is kind of one of those that like, honestly, to some degree, and I've said this to other people in the past before, of like, there's a little bit of envy of me if somebody can just like stick with it, you know, make a good living every year, do the things that are necessary to have a great reputation and please customers and make that the priority. Obviously, you've stated that that's like the focus and that's the way you approach the business.
Right.
So there's an element of me as somebody that's like, you know, I'm like, you know, my mind's always racing or my, you know, does your mind do that? Or are you a little more slower? I'm going to say, are you more steady?
No, absolutely.
So you have to, you reel in yourself.
Maybe
you just have better discipline than me. That's good. But no, I mean, like, is there anything, you know, given your, the reputation, the way you've gone about your business, the way that you've done things that you feel like is kind of the last thing that you would leave with people as maybe your message or your staple or your, you know, other than obviously you've said about the customers, if that's what it is, that's fine. But is there anything that comes to mind for you that's like super passionate about this or I'm very, you know, this is kind of my final message of what I'd want to leave with the listener of somebody that has a relatable business and is trying to figure out those types of things along the way?
Yeah, we haven't really touched on it, but just do the right thing, right? I think if you can always sleep well at night if you do the right thing. And sometimes you take a financial hit for that. A lot of times you do, right? Whether it's dealing with your employees or dealing with the customer or whoever. Like if you do the right thing, it like your path will be easier down the road.
Yeah.
You can't be too short-sighted, you know what I mean? So that's what I would do. That's my advice.
Love it. I love it. Well, man, it's been good to catch up.
You bet.
Maybe we can chat a little bit more, you know.
Love to.
About to be speaking out there in a few minutes, and hopefully it's a lot of information. I'm about to talk about data, so, you know.
Oh, good for you.
Let's see what happens with that.
You know, one thing I wanted to mention this before we, not for the cameras, but before we get done, is something that you, that I actually recall a lot from one of the last times that we talked about, is that impressed me about you in particular, is you think big. Like, and that
to a point of fault.
Yeah, but it's a good thing. So usually what you do is, you know, when you're looking at other people and you're comparing yourself against other people, you always have that envy, right? You always have that thing that somebody else has. It's like, I wish I had that. So with you and me, my thing is like, you dream big and you do big things. You have big vision. I've always looked at myself and I'm like, why don't I dream bigger? Why don't I think that this is possible? Because when you had your big, hairy, audacious goal of like having $1 billion under asset, all right, like under management, that's always stuck to me. I'm like, that's a really big goal. That's huge. That's a massive thing.
I honestly don't even remember telling you that, which is funny that you remember that.
Because it sticks
with
me.
Yeah. No,
it's
great.
Like the thing that I lack, right?
Yeah.
And so I've always looked at you as that person. It's like, hey, dream big, go big, do it big. And I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate the kudos. I would tell you that there is pros and cons to both sides.
Of course.
You can fail very fast and you learn very fast. That's been kind of my motto. I know I've said that before many times on the show, and I think it's like in the bios that I send to people.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just been the lifestyle I've lived. But yeah, I mean, I appreciate that, man. I think there's, for both sides though, it's like I told you earlier, I think it's definitely an element of me that wishes sometimes I could reel it in. I've gotten better at it,
sure.
You know, definitely more focused, not as serial, trying to do all the things, you know, because you have to dig in you have to invest the time, you know?
Of course.
And even if you're like someone like you, that you're like, hey, I'm going to go about this pace, I'm going to do about this way. And I know you self-admitted, like you're a smart guy, dude. I know that you're like, hey, you know, I'm not the guy that usually learns easier, learns quicker, whatever. You said that, you know, at the start of the show. I would say that, like, I don't know if it's so much like, yeah, there's definitely an element of me that like I pick up things quick, but I would say that like some of that can also, again, work on the counter effect,
sure,
where you think you can bite off more than you can chew. And
that's
happened to me many a time. So, but I appreciate the kudos, man.
Of course.
I think it's there's a little bit of a
sure,
two-sided envy there, where it's like you get to, you know, slow and steady wins the race.
Yep.
And then you got me over here doing, you know, all this
stuff. Right.
So, but yeah, man, I've enjoyed the conversation.
Appreciate it.
And, if you enjoyed this episode, if you felt like this is meaningful to you, or you know somebody that would really take a lot away from this message, make sure that you pass that along and share that out. We would love if you would like and subscribe to the show. No Suits Allowed, another episode wrapped up here with Jack, and I'm really excited to be able to share this out whenever it goes live. So thanks for tuning in, and we will see you in the next episode.